Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for June 14th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour 2 of 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Representative Mark Walker says gunman targeted baseball practice to kill as many Republican members as possible. It's interesting. They say they know that, but we don't really have any details on the shooter. Bottom line, folks, this is a battle of epic proportion. We had our guest on last hour, Larry Pratt, gunowners.org. Liberty Roundtable Live and Freedom Works condemn violence, and our prayers are with Steve Scalise and others. Republican Representative Steve Scalise was shot, and his aides were shot, I guess, during a baseball practice. Senator Rand Paul says 50 to 60 shots were fired. He had a dramatic eyewitness account, and he described how he was outside of the perimeter of the baseball field when the first shot rang out, and there was a rapid succession of shots. Brad Winstrom on baseball practice shooting. It felt like I was back in a rock, but without my weapon. Anyway, bottom line is obliterated in that whole discussion last hour was this headline. Confirmed Barack Hussein Obama had his own back channel to Moscow. So while they're attacking the Donald for trying to create his own channels, Barack had his own secret channel as well. With all that going on, they're trying to find out more about the shooting that took place. But you know what? Larry Pratt highlights the fact that why don't any of these people personally take the right to keep and bear arms seriously? Why does legislation not advance on Capitol Hill to protect our God-given unalienable right of self-defense? These congressmen and senators, you wonder, they always stand up and say they're for your right to keep and bear arms, but you wonder why nothing advances, and now this is why. They literally go to an unsecured baseball field. Multiple congressmen and senators and aides, and I mean, everybody and their dog is there. They say they don't have time to talk to me about anything important. They're just too busy, but they have plenty of time for baseball practice, baseball games. They're all hanging out with no security, and they pay the dear price. Thank heavens, Steve Scalise, I guess, is going to be okay. He's in stable condition, and they say he'll fully recover. Giffords, who was shot a couple of years ago, says, "My heart goes out and prayers go out to Scalise and my colleagues, my former colleagues, etc." So there you have it. Kurt, any other breaking details on this?
Just trying to look through the different ones. There's a number of different sources. I saw, you know, at least it looked like Mike Lee, senator from Utah, said that, Scalise was the only one that got shot. And then I've seen another report that said there were, you know, multiple wounded people. So like this one says, it's AP source says several other people were also wounded. Officials said, I haven't found anybody else that also got shot. Oh, okay.
Now here's the problem that I have with all this, though, Kurt. Rand Paul, in my opinion, says something really I think is foolish. Senator Rand Paul. If the Capitol Police hadn't been there, it would have been a massacre. Now, I appreciate he's trying to give credit to the Capitol Police, but aren't those the folks covering up the Seth Rich murder, Kurt?
I think that's the other, what do they call it, Washington Metropolitan Police or something. It's
whatever,
just kind of confusing. All
you get this scenario in my mind where do we want to, if we were to say, how could we stop the massacre? Would it be to say, oh, thank heavens the cops with guns were there? Or would it be better to say, oh, man, why didn't we have, as Larry pointed out, why didn't we have these congressmen and senators who claim they believe in the Second Amendment armed or have some kind of security there, internally speaking, with aides or somebody? Where does the buck stop with this, Kurt?
It's a great question, Sam. And all these guys were, according to this AP stories, gathered at a popular park and baseball complex in Alexandria, Virginia, where lawmakers and others were gathered for a morning practice about 7 a.m. The team was taking batting practice when a gunshot rang out and chaos erupted. That's what the lawmakers on the scene said. Jeff Flake, you know, one of the guys there, Republican of Arizona, said that he told CNN, "All of a sudden we heard a very loud shot. The gunman was over by the third base dugout with a clear view of the field."
See, Rand Paul should have been on Liberty Roundtable Live, not talking to the liberal NBC. And, you know, see, all these Republican congressmen, the first people they go to, the most liberal news organizations they can find, right, Kurt?
If it bleeds, it leads. So those guys are going to be covering it. Scalise, they say, was fielding balls on second base when he was shot. Flake said. He said the congressman dragged himself 10 to 15 yards into the outfield to get further away from the gunman. Initial reports said that as many as 50 shots had been fired, but Flake said 50 would be an understatement. He had a lot of ammo. Yeah. One lady was walking her two dogs.
To keep loading and loading and loading and loading, too, is just what I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get that if there's a security detail there that it took that long for any response. But anyway, one lady was walking her two dogs near the field when she heard a lot of shots, probably more than 20. She said the shooting went on for quite a while. She said she saw the shooter hit a uniformed law enforcement officer who she said was later evacuated by helicopter. That's the first report we've seen of that. She said the officer had gotten out of a parked car, drawn a handgun, and shouted something to the gunman, who then fired. Once the gunman was down, Flake ran to Scalise and tended to him. He said he grabbed Scalise's phone to call his wife. "I just didn't want her to wake up and learn the news." Representative Mo Brooks, an Alabama Republican, said that Scalise had what appeared to be a hip wound. The Alabama lawmaker said said the colleague crawled into the outfield, leaving a trail of blood. "We started giving him the liquids. I put pressure on his wound in his hip," Brooks said. Brooks said two law enforcement officers were believed to be among the others shot. Texas Rep. Roger Williams says the member of his staff was also shot and was receiving medical attention. Williams did not say what condition the staffer was in. House Speaker Paul Ryan's office said Scalise's wounds were not believed to be life-threatening, that a member of the security detail was also shot. Jeff Duncan, representative, said in a statement that he was at the practice and said he saw the shooter. "Please pray for my colleagues," he said. Anyway, those are some of the...
All right, Sean Hannity's still trying to focus on the Seth Rich case, Kurt.
Well, I don't know that he's focusing on it, but he's lost an advertiser, apparently. I think he's focusing on not talking about it, in my
opinion.
Now,
you know, it's funny. You go to the LibertyNewsRadio.com About Us page, and you read about us, and we talk about how if you stand up for liberty, advertisers either want to control what you say or drop you like a rock. Right, Kurt?
Good point. Good point. They say he's apparently... lost his first advertiser, that's according to KGW. So I don't know what he'll do. I suppose he'll just be quiet about it and hope he doesn't lose more.
Well, it depends. If he's smart, he'll join the rest of us.
Yeah, amen to that. It's about honesty.
Well, and it's about saying, look, I'm not here to be controlled. I'd rather be broke and not controlled. But here's the problem with my stance, Kurt. I'm going broke and Sean's getting rich. Right?
Well, you can sleep at night. I don't know about Sean. If you're told things and you say you can't say stuff, you know, it's just too bad, you know. But on the good part,
well, Sean would
say,
well, Sam, you just sleep in a normal bed, buddy. I sleep in some fancy sheets, bro.
Yeah, good point. I guess according to CourierJournal.net, the headline reads, Rich's death is suspicious, and apparently it's some students that are digging into it. It says, bottom line is, you know, some people that want the truth, and they're trying to dig into this whole thing. One of the investigator, by the way, the guy happens to be a black guy, this Rod Wheeler. I guess he had a picture with Jesse Jackson. But anyway, he says as soon as they let him release his report, that it'll clear up a whole bunch of things. And I'm like, well, why? He says, I'm waiting for permission to release it. But anyway, I guess the rich family attorney, that means the people that are holding this up, have sent him some kind of a cease and desist letter. So that's how you get to the bottom of these
weird stuff going on. I'll tell you that right now, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. Sam and Kurt on your radio. News the networks refuse to use always. Huh?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, while we wait for a little more information to break on the Steve Scalise shooting, you know, we talked about NBC taking heat over the Alex Jones interview. We talked about Sam Bushman. LeBron James is a master racist. LeBron James, quote, master class. Slams racism in America. LeBron James, his home was painted with racist graffiti, writes the LA Times. I'd really like to dig in and find out the origins of that, because 9 times out of 10, it's an agent provocateur, either for the government or somebody like a black person doing it to create, you know, to garner attention, etc. We also talked about, we had our guest on yesterday, Alan Phillips, vaccinerights.com. We talked about Gunners of America endorsed Corey Stewart from Virginia. Corey Stewart knows the right to keep and bear arms is God-given, and law-abiding Virginians ought not have to ask for permission to carry a gun. Hopefully, Kurt can look up Corey Stewart and see how that primary went yesterday. Look that up, will you, Kurt? GOP leaders in the Senate hope to keep health care bill secret as long as possible. Again, more shenanigans from the Republican leadership. American Express refuses to pull funding from the NYC or New York City Public Theater after Trump death play. Interesting. I would say jettison American Express Amex ASAP. National Vaccine Information Center. The vaccinereaction.org is their website. Minnesota mumps outbreak largest since 2006. That's the mainstream press story. The details behind the scenes is most of those folks are vaccinated. What gives with that? Repeat influenza vaccinations literally yields reduced antibody response, meaning the more you take the flu vaccine, the less effective it really is. Right out of the gate, it's only about 50% effective anyway. New studies are revealing vaccine harm. They promised you it was safe and effective for decades. Now the lid coming off of that. Italians are taking to the streets protesting new mandatory vaccination laws. Poland calls for global day of protest against mandatory vaccinations. Parents protest new California law mandating vaccinations for kids. Vaccine skeptics gather in Washington, D.C. to protest and lobby rights stats news. That was yesterday's show. I'm telling you, award-winning broadcasting coming out of Liberty News Radio, the Liberty Roundtable talk show, and more. We're breaking it down like no others. All right, after months of courting, we thought Donald would be draining the swamp, but he puts more insiders in, Kurt. I don't know if you heard this piece. But after months of courting, Donald Trump finally wins Cindy McCain. Now, that's the wife of Senator John McCain. They want to put her in an ambassador position focused on anti-human trafficking efforts, refugees, and humanitarian aid issues. So now you got, wow, Cindy McCain, John McCain's wife, joins the Trump administration. We can't get our people in for the life of us. But I would call this hardly draining the swamp, Kurt.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, but I guess it goes to the whole, you get your, know your friends and then your enemies, and then you keep your, what is it, you keep your enemies closer? You know, it's like when Obama beat Hillary, then he put her in as Secretary of Defense or State or whatever it was, maybe that's what he's working on, winning friends and, whatever.
But what do you think of that, though? Picking, of all people, Cindy McCain?
I could think of a lot, more I'd like to fill in with, but...
Well, what I find fascinating, when you study the Omaha, Nebraska incident, and you study a lot of the stuff that... Oh, what's that guy's name? Jim...
DeMint?
No... I'd have to look up his name. Anyway, he did a lot of reporting on the sex, child trafficking scandals and how it links all the way to the highest levels of government and everything else. When you dig into a lot of that stuff, you begin to understand that, man, is this lady going to really do any good, or is she just going to run interference, Kurt?
Yeah. Well, she'll have a big name, and maybe that means that McCain will be a little easier on Trump. I don't know, but... I think McCain still wants to be president. I think Romney still wants to be president, and Ryan, et cetera. So that's what I see.
What's that guy's name? And they even got a former district judge charged with human trafficking going on. There's a lot of that stuff everywhere. It's getting scary to even... exist almost, huh, Kurt?
Yep, I hear that, Sam. On the Corey, let's see, what's the name? Corey Stewart deal. It looks like he almost pulled off a victory. They say with, according to MotherJones.com, with 99% of the precincts reporting, Ed Gillespie. Now you'll remember that guy. He's a former Republican National Committee chair. Part of the drain of the swamp thing, I'm sure. But anyway, he's pulled off a victory over this Corey Stewart. Looks like about he's just barely ahead of the 1% threshold needed to avoid a recount. And this is, not complete. I mean, Mother Jones isn't what I'd call, backed up story, although the New York Times says Virginia primary results, Northam will face Gillespie in governor's race. I guess this is to replace Governor Terry McAuliffe, And the Republican contest was surprisingly competitive, New York Times says. Corey Stewart, a former state chairman for the Trump campaign who campaigned on preserving Confederate monuments, narrowly lost to the heavily favored Mr. Gillespie. Let's see, the numbers according to this were 43.7% to 42.5%. I guess you had to be.
Well, and then you
got to
wonder if there's vote fraud going on that, right?
Well, it certainly is the way that works. Remember when we were trained by those guys and they said, hey, they'll make it where it's really close. By the way, there was another guy in the race, Frank Wagner. He got 13.8%. You know, but anyway, that's what it looks like there.
All right. So another one of the good guys lost, it looks like. Sad to say on that score. Now, Kurt, how much have you heard about building the wall recently?
I think the last story we did on it was they were going to maybe put some solar panels on it and sell power to Mexico, something like that.
But so not much, right?
No.
And it might be details about, you know, hey, if we build the wall, but nothing like concrete in terms of building the wall. Well, we got some new information on this, according to Alex Pfeiffer over at Daily Caller.
All right.
Border Patrol chief reveals when border wall construction will begin, my friend.
Oh,
he's the acting Border Patrol chief. Or I guess it's a girl. I think Carla Provost. Or Carla Provost.
All right.
When do you think it's going to begin, Kurt?
Real soon, Sam. I mean, I'm sure they're going to.
It's imminent.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going on. For sure. In fact, I think the bricklayers have got some bricks right now, and they're down there with the concrete all stirred up. And,
no, come on,
what I mean?
Kurt. Do you know when it's going to happen, my friend?
Well, you know, it's...
come on,
I was going to say something about something freezing over. But, you know...
Good point.
It's... It's on its way, Sam.
April of 2018, they're going to begin. But first...
Yeah.
But first, they're working on, well, the Trump administration's budget request is going to try and get some funding first, Kurt. Right?
Well, that would be one of those things that I suppose Trump could use as a fundraiser for the next campaign. Hey, if you want to put up, a brick in a wall, you know, put this much money in, then we'll put your brick with your name on it. You
Kurt,
know what I
the
mean?
Problem with that plan is that's supposed to be the Mexicans paying for the wall, sir.
Yeah, good
not
point.
Me and you with our names on it.
Yeah, I know, but you know how everybody would want.
So
to
why are we
those.
Waiting? If the Mexicans are going to pay for the wall, and we have such an incredible trade deficit right now with Mexico and some of these places, why would we need to wait for funding, Kurt? As far as I understand, since like 2006, congressional approval for building fencing was already in place, etc. So not only are they going to wait till, 2018 to start building it, but they're looking for funding from the American taxpayer via Congress first. And now they say, Kurt, they don't really need an entire wall.
Yeah.
Are we draining the swamp, folks? Are we keeping promises or what's happening here? Donald, call me. I'll help you with it, my friend.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Some non-governmental organizations, NGOs, in Europe are colluding with criminal gangs to move African migrants into Italy. The Libyan Navy announced that it had driven out several NGO vessels from Libyan territorial waters just this past weekend. One admiral says the NGOs wait for boats full of migrants to arrive, claiming that they'd been informed by human traffickers of their arrival. A Libyan colonel delivered bank details and phone records showing collusion to EU officials. It would seem that the country of Venezuela is going from bad to worse. anti-government marches in that country are growing in frequency. Since March, 84 protesters have died in confrontations with police and the military. Armed police are on every street corner. Pro-government propaganda competes with anti-government graffiti. Violence, poverty, inflation, a breakdown in basic services. The inflation rate has hit 800% going on in Venezuela. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. The lady's name is Carol Denise Richardson. Kurt, she's 49 years old. And she was among hundreds of nonviolent drug offenders granted clemency by Obama. She was serving a life sentence, they say, for a relatively minor drug offense, right? She was given a second chance by Obama, but now she's headed back to prison, Kurt. So we got the freedomcoalition.com standing up for innocence in prison all over the country, and we can't get Donald to pay attention to us at all, but Barack literally gave clemency or, quote, pardons and let all kinds of people out of prison, and, well, we can't even get Donald to lend an ear, Kurt. Now, I'm not
Are
really here
surprised?
To attack. Well, yeah, because I thought Donald actually would be different to some degree. I had hoped.
Well, at least in my opinion, let me pretend like I'm, what would you say, standing up for him.
Devil's advocate. All right.
Not really that, but I would simply say, you know, you and I are busy, and we, you know, it's hard for us to keep, you know, up with everything we've got to do. All I could say is I can't even imagine what all the different things that would be coming at you as president.
Well, there's no doubt about it. But Barack had time to free all kinds of drug addicts and all kinds of people. Now, I don't know that those people belong in prison as non-offenders or non-violent in the first place. I think we have way too many prisons in America. But you know what? Barack had plenty of time for it, Kurt.
That's a great point, Sam. And I don't know what to say.
So I get that they're busy, but they're not busy building the wall, Kurt. Are they?
Yep. Well, they're busy dodging bullets today in Washington,
they're not,
D.C.
They're not busy, you know, shutting down the Federal Reserve, the Education Department, or any of those things, are they?
You could almost say with the with Betsy DeVos that they're kind of in the process of doing some shutting down.
Now, let me give you an example. We can't get Rand Paul to come on the radio with us because he's too busy, right, Kurt? You want to know why?
Well, he's talking to MSNBC. And
he's too busy at baseball
CNN.
Practice. Even literally during the time of our broadcast, Kurt.
that. Well, it was 7 a.m. Eastern, so...
Okay,
you
so
know,
right before be, our yeah, broadcast.
Yeah, a couple hours, you know.
He'd be like in the shower probably after the baseball practice kind of a thing.
Right, good point.
So all I'm saying is, you know, when we say these guys are too busy, I get it, I understand. And I appreciate the defense of them, but I'm not buying it, Kurt. I don't, you know, accept that. Because remember, not only is Donald plenty busy, I agree that he is, but he's got all kinds of people, literally thousands of people paid by the taxpayer to do his bidding or to carry out, you know, things that we need to do. I don't have any of that, Kurt. I don't have anybody that works for me to do a lot of things for me, really. I got to do it all myself or it don't get done.
Well, yeah. Good point, Sam.
So, you know, I don't know what to say about this, but I just find that, you know what? The things that I care about the most just aren't getting done under the Donald. And I'm not really here to attack the Donald, but I am here to point out the obvious. Folks, our big grandiose idea that, hey, Donald's going to come in and clean house and we're going to see some big, massive, awesome changes just aren't happening. Look, how long has Donald been in office now, Kurt?
Well, 6 months. Let's see. This is June, and I'd say about seven. You get put in the 20th of January.
So 5 months.
So, you know, it's almost,
150 days. Okay, and all I'm telling you is when you start looking at election cycles already, he's already been in a quarter of the first 2 years before the congressional elections happen again, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
I see a couple of things that are good, but I don't see anything massive. Do you?
Well, as the standard guy on here that says, hey, I'm going after Moby Dick in a rowboat and taking the tartar sauce with
me. That has nothing to do with an assessment of where we're at.
Well, I know, but I'm just telling you that... as I compare where we would have been or whatever, you know, we got this Paris deal that I think was a pretty good move. We got
but we're not even out of it until 2020 anyway, so we'll see if we even gain pay dirt on that or was it rhetoric.
I think that, you know, that all depends on what you call out of it, you know, and you got these battling guys going back and forth. I'm talking about the lamestream media. You've got... you know, lots of changes, lots of shaking up going on, I think. In many cases, you know, when you see this kind of stuff, you know, the old, if you're catching flack, you're right on target kind of thing. That, you know, should tell you there's a whole lot of something going on because he's sure catching a lot of flack, I can tell you that.
Well, yeah, and if it's real flack, that's great. But I just look at the people that Donald's surrounding himself with, and I don't see how on earth you're going to drain the swamp that way. Now, if you got a couple of our people in, I might start to believe a little bit more. But I don't see really a person that you and I know or can identify with. We believe some of the greatest movers and shakers for liberty ever known, from Matt Staver, well-known Liberty Counsel, Christian constitutional attorney, to, you know, news people, to media people, to all kinds of people, and not a single one.
You know, the least a couple that I could point at would be Ben Carson. I'd like, you know, I think that's a great pick there. I think then you're talking about this Betsy DeVos.
Yeah, we've been
Betsy
trying to get a hold of Ben for years. Trying to get a hold of him and get him on the radio there.
Well, good point. But, you know, I could tell you that at least in my opinion, those are a couple of great ones there, great picks. And I do hope they just completely shut down their organizations. But, you know... I got to remember that many times these things happen kind of slowly. We lost a lot of these liberties slowly. I'd like to get them back just like that, but I doubt it'll happen.
All right. Seth Rich was one of the folks questioning elections. Kurt sent me a soundbite. This is Seth Rich. Kind of quiet. I didn't have time to
excuse me. Seth Rich with the DNC. I think several of you have spoken about provisional ballots and rejected ballots. I guess we've looked at as an outside practitioner with a vested interest in training our voters, how do we get better access to data that tells us why ballots are rejected, why ballots are cast as provisional, so that we can analyze that and then develop better training guides?
Can one of the election officials speak to any work you've done with either the parties or other groups on that type of information?
So from Denver's perspective, one thing that we do, and we do this for sort of the parties or any candidates are involved in any election, we have a secure FTP site, and we put post basically who's voted and sort of the status. And so if they have
want to pause it, Sam? What's a secure FTP site?
You don't know what a secure FTP site is?
Well, what I want to know is there a secure FTP site?
Yeah.
If you've got the CIA and the NSA and you've got, you know, do you think they can,
well, it depends on
can
how
still
you define
keep
secure,
it secure? Kid. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So if you
about.
Think secure is letting them have access to it, then it's plenty secure. If you think it's secure, meaning okay. It can't be tampered with by the inside thugs, there's nothing secure, my friend.
There you go. Good point.
But you're spot on. You're right. Now, an FTP site stands for File Transfer Protocol, and it's basically a place on the internet that you can store files.
I thought you might remember all the stuff I taught you about this,
yeah, good.
And so I'm glad you could go back into
and,
that.
And, you know, you can use FTPS URLs, and there is a level of security and encryption and things like that that can be used and stuff.
And I don't want to explain all this too much to you, ladies and gentlemen,
right,
because a lot of this is over your heads.
But, we'll lay out that. But the bottom line is, hey, that storage place that they're talking about to store this data, Kurt's point is right. It is not secure, folks, not even maybe.
Discrepancy or unsigned ballot, or maybe they had an undeliverable ballot. All that data is posted daily during the election, and then we actually also proactively send out, you know, because we have to notify the voters if there is some sort of issue with their mail ballot. We also give the parties and the campaigns the exact letter that we send to the voter. So then when they do their follow-up and they contact the voter, they have exactly the same wording that we send out, so there's not confusion. So we found that actually giving more information and being more upfront with that data with the entities has been much more effective for everybody involved instead of sort of holding it back. So we've tried to put it out there. The provisional ballots have significantly declined in Colorado. I put up some data earlier that shows that. And most of the reason for that is the voter registration modernization that we did, where we eliminated the precinct registration deadline. And now have same-day registration. So we've really taken care of most of the reasons that voters would vote a provisional. The other reasons are because they didn't bring the ID and it's election day and they don't want to go get it, so they vote a provisional. Or maybe they moved into Colorado after the state residency requirement.
Or maybe they're voting in multiple states and, you know, they don't really want to face in case it gets discovered, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe they're not even Americans, you know.
Oh, good point, yeah.
And, you know, it's a little tough to...
All right, this is Seth Rich querying an election official before he died, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use talk station.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Seth Rich, before he was murdered, literally queries an election official about vote ballot integrity. The interview continues now.
Potentially they might vote one there. So there's very few reasons now why someone would even vote a provisional in Colorado. And if it does get rejected, it could be maybe they haven't gotten off their felony status yet, or, you know, one of the other kind of pretty straightforward reasons. So I think sharing that data, analyzing that data, and involving the parties and sort of the entities that have an interest in that to get them that data, and then talking about it collectively and working together on training and communication tools for doing that are all very important.
The only thing I would add is the key to that, our states need to have a statewide voter database so that we can code those. And I know in Utah, you know, as we are transitioning through that, and pieces of that were missing because we hadn't fully understood how to utilize that. Not every county was inputting that the same way. And Eves was a good way to showcase that so that we could make that change. So we've got to make sure that all of the states, as they implement that, teach their counties how to report those similarly. And it makes it, like Amber said, it becomes a very automated process.
You know, Sam, I want to pause it for a second. One other thing to throw in here that was pretty interesting to me is to remember that the the Homeland Security had tried to basically hack a number of states that didn't want to go along with the president's idea to, have a national kind of control over the elections. And
how do you know they didn't try? How do you know they didn't succeed?
That's what the reports were, and I agree with you 100% with the point.
Yeah, good point. So you got the government hacking into the elections, and now they want to create a government-controlled database for the elections, right?
Now we'll be secure.
Uh-huh.
Or these voter registration systems in other places, it's very easily reportable and collected in that way as well.
One difficult thing on that is every state codes provisionals differently. So like Colorado, we have, it's not just accept and reject. There's a whole list, and that's going to change by state. And so I think getting to a common format for that too is going to help just from a national perspective, you know, communicate that information effectively and provide better training. If that's possible, if states could collaborate and come up with common ways of that being reported, it would be very helpful.
That's the end of our time. I want to sincerely thank all of you for sharing the information. There's actually, Pew just released the panel performance index, and this panel actually scored number one. So congratulations to all of you. And it's lunchtime. It's lunchtime. So thank you all. We'll be back in 1 hour. 1 hour.
So I'm not positive, Kurt, what we're supposed to learn from that, except to say they just babbled, right? And said, hey, it's all secure and all good, and we're doing everything we can, and hey, what we have to have is a federal plan.
And the main thing that you hear here is that Seth Rich was concerned about voter fraud earlier.
All he's got to do is talk to Barack and Hillary, and they'll tell him there's no fraud, and he's done. Oh, he can't do that. He's dead.
And then as an insider, big time, at the DNC, you know, he was a supporter of Bernie, and he saw, at least these are my, you know, evaluations as I look at this whole picture, and he saw how the insider boys, you know, were basically pushing Clinton over his choice, and he saw it's not a fair deal. Then he releases the emails, then hey, he just shows up dead, and you know, a couple of shots or more in the back, you know, there's nobody really digging into it.
What does he expect, Kurt?
Yeah, good point. He was just, you know, a young guy with a very patriotic guy. I mean, there's several pictures of him with decked in red, white, and blue, head to toe. And
we wouldn't agree with the guy on much in life.
No,
Kurt.
But the bottom line is, he probably thought, "Hey, we had honest elections." before.
Why would he think a thing like that? He should be listening to the Liberty Roundtable. He would have got caught up to speed a lot sooner.
Great point, Sam.
We've been talking about this for, what, 20 years, Kurt?
Yes, sir.
Election commission officials about ballot access, ballot integrity.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, folks? And he leaves by saying, hey, we think the commission's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Kurt wants to start making fun of fat people on the radio. And I'm going to have
well,
to
not
read him
really.
In a bit. Planet Girth is the headline.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're saying that, they don't talk about any real solutions in this story, Sam. They just tell us that, hey, we're all getting fatter and, times are tough. Now, I think you could give them a lot of instruction in this area, right?
They're not going to listen to me.
Well, I know, but if there were one or two, they might, hear you and say, hey, Sam knows how to trim down federal government as well as, yourself, right?
They say 2 billion people across the world are obese, Kurt, with 1 in 4 battling
fat-related
governments diseases.
And fat people.
Now, don't you know that experts are warning? Believe it or not, 4 million people died in 2015 as a result of being too tubby, Kurt.
Yeah, they say there's, these people also, I think that a big part of the world wants them that way because then they are struck by cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and other killer conditions, to say nothing about killer fat, they say 1 in 4 is battling fat-related diseases, obesity of the world, and yet you've got at least some of the solutions, Sam. And I mean, we've seen you just trim down to where you're just like, not half of your former self, but,
pretty close. I've lost 25% of my weight, Kurt.
Yeah, if the federal government lost 25% of their weight, of course, we'd be wanting more, but it would sure be a step in the right direction, huh, Sam?
Well, all we'd have to do is get the government off of fried Twinkies and we'd be good.
Amen.
All I'm telling you, though, I appreciate Donald's cuts across things, but all he's doing is reinvesting it into the war mentality. We're cranking up for war everywhere, Kurt, behind the scenes. Beware and write that down.
Yeah, now they say in the last sentence here, this is a story from across the pond, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. They quote a chief nutritionist at Public Health England who said, we need urgent action in every country if we are to address our global obesity crisis. Went on to say, our work to tackle obesity in England is world leading. You got to have big arms to tackle obesity there. And we want to see other countries following our example. Final sentence, we have set clear guidelines for the food industry to reduce sugar in the foods children eat the most of, and will openly and transparently monitor and report on their progress. So if the government, that's like the biggest, fattest thing that I can think of, is going to make sure everybody's not fat, I mean, that's a real step in the right direction, I say.
Well, you know what's going to happen, Kurt? They're going to put a commission together, spend a bunch of money. It'll be the war on fat. And what they'll do is 20 years, 30 years later, they'll find out we spent ourselves into oblivion and people are like fatter than ever.
Well, that's the way we always do. If we're going to have a war on something, we always get more of it. Remember, war on drugs, war on whatever. Just
by the way, if you want to solve fat around the world, there's one 4-letter word that can help. It's spelled K-E-T-O, keto. There are ketogenic diets that can make a huge difference for folks. And there's stage 1, which is very extreme diet, Kurt, which is primarily very high fat. The right kind of fat, by the way. Hardly any carbs. Really, really low carb and medium protein. And that's the most extreme stage. And then when you get into stage 2 keto, you simply eat vegetables and fruits and very little but some grain and meat. And you can really do a lot of good. It takes some learning, though, because it almost goes against everything we're taught. Plenty of salt, plenty of fat, plenty of water, no sugars. literally reduce carbs big time, increase the good fats, get away from pasteurized stuff. The less processed, the better. All the simpler principles apply. But anyway, I digress.
But anyway, and you've already gone through all these, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so you can explain to folks that if they really got a, you know, like our buddy Greg, he was saying he wanted to, I don't know that he's willing to duplicate your efforts, but he was impressed, he said, you know.
Most people are not willing to duplicate it, Kirsch, unless they have a crisis or some compelling reason.
I know. Well, good point. And, you know, right. Like our big monster fat federal government, you know, could sure use some trimming down, I say.
I hear that. Planet Girth. They ought to call it planetgovernmentgirth.com. All right, Roy Moore is in the news, and he's really trying to become a senator, Kurt. Roy Moore campaigns for Senate in the state of Alabama on a shoestring and a prayer, writes Amy Uacannon.
Yep. Yep.
Or York Cannon? How do you say
Uacannon?
It?
Uacannon? I don't
Uacannon?
Know. It's Yurkanin. That's a pretty tough one. But anyway, yeah, you know, Roy Moore campaigning on a prayer. He's been doing that for a long time. They say U.S. Senate hopeful Roy Moore recently made his case to Republicans in Tuscaloosa, one of my favorite towns. Never been there, but I like the word, with an unusual pitch. What was it? Well, that getting kicked off the state Supreme Court twice made him the candidate voters could trust. Well, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, Sam, but he's right, isn't he? He said, I've stood for traditional marriage and the acknowledgement of God, and with that, I have been reported to ethics commissions. It's not what you say, it's what you do. Boy, I'll tell you what, he's done it. He says, the NRA has never endorsed me. I even wrote an opinion when no one wanted to do it on a teacher who carried a gun to school. The NRA is a political group. They endorse politicians. He's going to be getting into trouble there. But hopefully Senator Roy Moore in the future, I'm saying.
You think it'll be Kurt? You think he'll win?
Tartar sauce man says yes, sir.
All right, Sam Bushman says not a chance because the Patriots won't put their money where their mouth is and back him to get in office, and therefore he'll lose because vote fraud's at the helm and there's no money in the Patriot circles.
Judge Roy Moore going to Washington D.C. Yes, sir.
If Americans would get involved though, then Kirk could be correct. All I'm telling you is
that
you got to put action to your hope. Folks, if you want your faith,
we need your
real
support, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.